More than 100 ninth graders took an exam today. You might ask, what's the big deal with that? I mean, lots of high school kids are doing that this time of year, except these ninth graders happen to be Palestinians, living in the besieged Yarmouk refugee camp outside Damascus, Syria. In other words, they're taking a test in the middle of a civil war. You might have seen the now iconic images of Yarmouk's collapsed buildings and the dense crowds there waiting for a food distribution recently. But today, Yarmouk residents celebrated a small victory. After intense negotiations, about 120 students were able to board buses that drove them past barricades and to a safe location to take their end-of-year exam. The BBC's Lise Doucette took the journey with them.
The students had to make their way through these corridors, these warren of ruins, and just hours before they came out, we could hear sporadic gunfire and heard reports that even at this 11th hour on the eve of the nationwide exams, after weeks of negotiations, the negotiations were still going on with some of the rebel groups inside the camp to ensure safe passage. Nobody wanted to see any of the students being shot. And the students themselves, you have to admire these students, so determined not to lose another year of school, that they were willing to come out with those conditions.
Right. How hard was it for them to study for exams while they were in Yarmouk?
It must have been incredibly difficult. I mean, just take a few of the stories of the boys and girls that we spoke to. All of the students said that they were eating local grasses cooked with spices and water, if water could be found. And 16-year-old Mohammed told me how he left for school one day and he came back to find that a rocket had hit his house. It killed his mother, it killed his two sisters, and it injured two of the others. And then he pauses and he says, "It's not a life, but thank God we're alive." Yeah. So, you know, if any students are listening at this and complaining at this time of year that they have to study so hard for their exams, just spare a thought for the students of Yarmouk who will take these kind of risks to ensure that they don't miss these crucial tests.
Well, exactly. And students here in the United States and many other parts of the world know what it's like to take a test in a community. And I'd like our listeners to hear some sound now. This is of Yuli's on the bus with these students.
Just listen to the ruckus on this school bus. Of course, there are school buses the world over, but this one is completely different. These boys from Yarmouk have been living under siege for months and months. They're expressing their emotion and they're looking out the windows, trying to remember the streets they haven't seen for so many months. No, we've just driven up to the shelter where the students will stay, and families have gathered here too. They're taking pictures, they're waving. Are you friends or sisters?
Friends.
Friends. And how long has it been since you've seen each other?
A year and a half.
And you're crying tears of happiness. You're happy to be out?
Alhamdulillah.
Was it hard inside?
So I just came out. My father, mother, brother and sister, my grandparents are inside. It's very difficult. It's very hard, the life inside, no food. I don't want to come back.
So this young woman has been living under siege in Yarmouk, trying to study at the same time. How is it that she and her relatives and neighbors were trapped inside their neighborhoods? What was their situation?
Well, this is what it's like when you live under siege, that you cannot come and go as you please. You are trapped inside. And some of the students told us that they were going to go back, as they're expected to, because all of their relatives, mother, father, brother and sister, were still inside Yarmouk. So they wanted to go back to be with their families, as no matter how difficult and desperate the conditions are. There was one man, Khalid, who you just have to smile to see him. He was grinning from ear to ear. He was wearing this jaunty black cap and a big mustache, and his daughter went flying into his arms. He was hugging her. He hadn't seen her for 10 months. He was stuck outside the camp. And when I said to him, "How happy are you?" He said, "I am so happy I could spread my happiness all around the world."
Wow, I love it. Who determines actually who gets to leave the camp and who stays?
It wasn't a done deal. Some of the groups didn't want the students to leave. There had been a shooting incident at the camp a few days earlier one official with one of the Palestinian groups had been killed, another had been injured. And so they said, right, we're not letting the students out. So we heard that 300 students were waiting to come out. In the end, there were only 120 who came, who decided to take the journey. We were told there was the ninth grade test and the 12th grade test that were being set. And so it was those students who wanted to write those exams. And it was basically the teenagers. Those are the ones who were allowed to leave.
And these 100 or so, will they have to go back now?
They're supposed to go back. Mm. And we were surprised that they would let them out because, of course, boys of 14, 15, 16, 17, they're old enough to hold a gun. They're still of fighting age, as terrible a marker as that is in this war. But the whether or not some of them will be able to slip away, certainly seeing some of the relatives who met them and took their young relatives into their clutches, I thought they're never going to let them go now. The exams take place over a period of 2 weeks. And so we'll have to see just how long, whether or not they are willing to risk it.
The BBC's Lise Doucette speaking to us about her recent trip to Damascus. Lise, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.